This morning, I am wondering if any of you have ever been to camp. Not necessarily camping, but to camp, whether with the Boy Scouts or the Girl Guides or to a Christian camp, a music camp. Who's been to camp? Hands up. All right, we got a lot of hands. That's good. This might work. Now, there's a game that gets played when you go to camp sometimes at the campfire, right? It's sort of a shouting game back and forth between the two sides. It's silly, it's responsive, but it's fun. And do you all know the song I'm thinking of right now? No, not Row, Row, Row Your Boat. There ain't no flies on us. Who knows there ain't no flies on us? Hands, show of hands here. Hands up, yeah. So it goes, there ain't no flies on us. There ain't no flies on us. There may be flies on some of you guys, but there ain't no flies on us. Pretty simple. You got that? Anyone need me to do it again? Okay, because it's your turn now. I would like us to have a little game of there aren't ain't no flies on us. This side of the sanctuary against this side of the sanctuary. Now, folks on my side, they have more people over there. Okay? The choir, get in on this. All right? We'll have the folks on the eastern side, on the opposite side of me. You can start. All right? Maybe what I can do is, Justin, you know this, right? Do you want to stand and lead your side in this? Okay? And who knows it from this side other than me? There's someone who can get up and rouse the congregation. I guess I'll have to take it for this side. I have a mic, so that should help us. Okay?
Ain't no flies on us. Ain't no flies on us.
Right.
Maybe flies on some of you guys, but there ain't no flies on us.
There ain't no flies on us. There ain't no flies on us. There may be flies on some of you guys, but there ain't no flies on us. One more time. With feeling. There ain't no flies on us. There ain't no flies on us. There may be flies on some of you guys, but there ain't no flies on us. Good. Excellent. So I do have a question for you. Who are the flies on? They on you? They on me? Are they on all of us? Our passage from Luke this morning forces us to take a look at ourselves very carefully, to ask if we are in the right, or if we are in the wrong, or if perhaps we're all in it together. Now, most of the time, I like to think I'm in the right. I like to think that I'm doing the right thing at the right time, and Kate will probably tell you that that's not always true. And I'm sure that we can all relate to that kind of a situation. But we like to think we're in the right, that we're doing the right thing. We give thanks for our blessings, but we don't always consider those who are harmed or those who aren't enjoying the same blessing. I was sitting in a philosophy of religion course one time. We were discussing the power of God's providence, how God can influence our lives, and the power of prayer. And a classmate told this story. It was a story of a very devout family. They woke up every morning and they read scripture and they prayed, and before they went to bed, they prayed, and they prayed before every meal, and they did everything right. and they were planning a trip, a family vacation. But on the way to the airport, they were delayed. And the result was they missed their flight. The airplane, so the story goes, crashed, killing all those on board. And the family thanked God and attributed their not perishing on the plane to their prayer and God's providence. A wonderful story. God's love and protection. However, it fails to consider all the other passengers on the plane. What about God's love and protection for them? Does their prayer life, or lack thereof, influence their fate? In our gospel account this morning, Luke is telling us about some Galileans who Pilate kills. We read in the New Revised Standard Version, it's a little more poetic. It says, whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. Pilate kills these Galileans who are worshiping God. And we don't hear much about Pilate in Scripture until the end, right? When he has his meeting with Jesus and he says, I can find no fault with this man. I wash my hands of him. He's your problem. Almost makes Pilate look like a good guy who just didn't want anything to do with it. Our story this morning tells us Pilate was not a good guy. So here he was. He has these Galileans killed. And Jesus asks those who were there, do you think the Galileans suffered this way because they were worse sinners than other Galileans? Similarly, Jesus asks, did those who were killed under the Tower of Siloam, were they worse offenders than anyone else living in Jerusalem? Jesus replies, no. Unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Sometimes we like to divide people into different groups. Good guys, bad guys. Us versus them. You're not with me, you're against me. However, Jesus reminds us that we are all the same. That each of us receives the same forgiveness which Jesus offers. In a memorable scene from the film Unforgiven, a young gunslinger is literally shaking in his boots in shock and remorse after having shot a man dead for the first time. In a weak attempt to justify himself, the young man says, well, I reckon he had it coming. To this, the grizzled old gunslinger, played by Clint Eastwood, replies, we all got it coming, kid. This is the message we receive from Jesus in today's gospel reading, that finger pointing and thinking ourselves better than others is not going to get us anywhere. It's wrong-headed and dangerous. Jesus tells us all we need to know. Repent or perish. Turn towards God. Live a full life in the embrace of God's love. And this is the mistake we all make. We think we're better or more fortunate than others. And we forget. We forget that we are all in it together. Luke's gospel reminds us to come together, to repent, to trust in God. And the lesson this morning finishes with the parable of the barren fig tree. The tree's owner wants it cut down. It's not producing any fruit. It's a waste of space. Why should it use the soil? But the gardener asks the owner to reconsider. He literally tells the owner to forgive the tree. You can translate the Greek to say to forgive. He's asking the owner, forgive the tree for not producing fruit. Give the tree another chance to bear fruit. With God, we are forgiven. and we're given a second chance. In the Good News version, which Adam read this morning, the gardener says, "I will put fertilizer around the tree." Other versions translate this to say, "I will put manure around the tree," around the base of the tree, of course, to fertilize it, to give it a chance at life. And friends, and this analogy is crude, but friends, what do you find near and on manure? Flies. You find flies. We're all in it together. This life, this world, we're all stuck in the muck together. And none of us is any better than any other person. But fortunately for us, we are cared for by a gardener who believes in second chances. And in Jesus Christ, each of us receives that second chance. Thanks be to God. Amen.